Now your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The 8th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians in your Scofield Bible, page 1236. That's page 1236. We'll be reading verses 10 through 12, these three verses. We'll read them together. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Reading in unison, verses 10 through 12. Let's read together. Ready? And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. We praise thee for these who have come out on this day when it's so cold. We pray that you'd certainly meet together with us. A good deal of effort has been expended on the part of these who are here. And we pray that truly they'd all be rewarded with not only a sense of thy presence, but something from thy word which will be helpful. Thank you for our preacher. We thank you that you've given him something for us today. It certainly would be to our advantage if we would give our attention completely now to the preaching of the Word. Help our minds to be alert to that which is preached, and help our hearts to be hungry for what you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the mind, the sentry, meaning the guard, the sentry of the heart. Often, I preach a sermon and wish I had more time because I want to elaborate. Then there are times I preach a sermon and wish all of our people could have heard it, and numbers of folks are out of town. And then there are times that I preach a sermon and think I have a wonderful truth, I don't do a good job, and I want to try again. Then there are times, on occasion, when a sermon leads to my desire to preach another sermon on the same subject. All of these are the case today. I also want sometimes, I preach a sermon on a Sunday morning, and I wish the folks that were here on Sunday night could have heard the sermon, those working on the buses and so forth. All of these are a part of the case this morning. I'm going to preach probably an extension of a sermon that I preached a few months ago. And a young man said to me, in fact, often they'll say to me, Brother Howells, I can't control my lust. Oh, yes, you can. I'm going to tell you how this morning. I'm going to explain to you how that you can how you can not have to look at women if they're immodestly clothed. I'm going to explain how you can control your lust. I'm going to explain to you this morning how you can control your appetite. I don't know where to look. I'm going to explain how to do it. I'm not going to recommend you do it, but I'm going to explain how, if you ever decide you want to do it, how you can do it. I'm going to say some things this morning that if you will heed what I say, will prevent you many, many heartaches. It'll prevent you making some decisions that are foolish and irrational. It'll prevent you from leading a life of remorse. I'll show you the cause this morning, and I mean this, of 90% at least. Listen to me now. No talking, no laughing. Listen to me. I will show you this morning how you can prevent 90% of your problems. I cannot show you how to prevent all of them, but I promise you that 90% of all your problems will be solved and cured if you will abide for what is preached from across this pulpit this morning. I want to speak today on the subject, the mind, the sensory of the heart. Father, bless me as I speak, please, and cause the people to pay attention. I pray to help the folks who've been sort of snickering and talking and laughing to shut up and listen. I pray to help the teenagers to quit misbehaving and listen. I pray to help the college students to quit daydreaming and listen. I pray to help all of us to pay attention to what's said from this pulpit today. I believe it'll be a help. I know it will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me lay the foundation very carefully. In the text and verses, 2 Corinthians 8, 10, 11, and 12, read a while ago, the Apostle Paul is writing the people at Corinth, and he's making several statements to them. He said, in the first place, you started something a year ago. Doesn't matter what it was, I won't go into that, but he said, a year ago, you started something. Now he said, a year later, you haven't finished it. And he said, I'm going to tell you why you haven't finished today what you started a year ago. By the way, some of you made New Year's resolutions, and you broke them before New Year's, or the first day of the New Year, or you've already broken them. And I won't tell you why, but the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to tell you why you started something a year ago, and after one whole year, you have not finished what you started. He said in three statements, I'll summarize what he said. He said, in the first place, your will, don't leave me now, your will did not determine your actions. Your will did not determine your actions. He said, in the second place, your emotions, your heart, and your senses determine your actions. By senses, we mean the touch, the smell, the taste, the sight, and so forth. He said, your senses and your heart and your emotions determine the actions that you made. Then he said, in the third place, he said, your mind did not determine what you will to do. Now, let me say this and give me a careful hearing this morning. He said, the mind needs to decide what enters into the heart. Let me, as I intend to say this later, I think I'll reach over and say it now. The hands requisition the mind and say, give me permission for what I touch. Are you listening? Now, what you do, your eyes give permission for your hands to touch. Or your ears give permission for your hands to touch. The Apostle Paul said, your mind, your will should decide what you touch. So the hands go to the mind and say to the mind, I'd like to touch something. And the mind fills out, as it were, a permission slip and says, you have my permission to touch what you want to touch. The ears want to hear something. The Apostle Paul said the ears should go to the mind and say to the mind, may I hear something? No, you don't say, I want my eyes to tell me what I hear. I want my hands to tell me what I hear. I want my senses to tell me what I hear. I want my emotions to tell me what I hear. I want my heart to tell me what I hear. No, the Apostle Paul said, let your mind decide what you hear. Your ears go to your mind and say, I want to hear something. May I have permission to hear that thing? Let's go a step further. The eyes say to the mind, I want to see something. Now, here comes your lust. Here comes your watching women immodestly dressed. And by the way, if you went with women to put your clothes on, you wouldn't have to see you immodestly dressed. But I saw something I thought I'd never see in America this week. We were down in the South, and it was 84 degrees and so forth. And the sun was shining brightly, we were in our bathing suits, and of course our bathing suits are very long, but we were driving past a beach, and we saw a sign, and it said, no nudity allowed. Never thought I'd have to see that in America. No nudity allowed. Had to put a sign up there like that. Now, here's the reason. Here's your problem. Your eyes want to see something. And so you, as your eyes, ask your heart for permission, and that's your trouble. Or your eyes ask your ears for permission, and that's your trouble. But the Apostle Paul said, before you see anything, you have your eyes get permission from your mind. And your mind tells your eyes what they can see, and your mind tells your ears what they can hear, and your mind tells your hands what they can touch, and your mind tells your mouth what it can eat, and your mind tells your tongue what it can speak, and your mind tells your heart what it can feel. Let me make a statement. Don't miss this statement. The deepest thinker and the deepest lover is the one whose mind gives a permit for love to enter into the heart. This will keep you from falling in love with somebody you shouldn't fall in love with. Your heart does not... That's what falling in love is. Your heart decides. That's falling in love. But your mind should give your heart permission to love. And the heart should go to the mind and say, there's somebody I'd like to love. And the mind says, okay, I give you permission to love that person, or I do not give you permission. And you love that person on the basis of permission given to your heart with the mind. Let me read the statement again. The deepest lover or thinker is the one whose mind gives a permit for love to enter into the heart. Then it returns it to the mind. Let me illustrate what I mean. The heart says to the mind, may I love this particular person? And the mind says, yes, this person is a good person, a Christian person, the kind you ought to love. And you have my permission to love. And the mind says, let me tell you why you love. That's a wonderful person. She's a hard-working person, a decent person, a person of character. You may go ahead and love that person. And the heart begins to tingle because the mind gave permission. And the realization starts up here and sends its word to the heart. That's the difference in charismatic and First Baptist charismatics and what we leave First Baptist Church of Hammond. Charismatics, the heart just starts telling the mouth to shout, but the mouth shouldn't shout until the mind gives permission to the mouth to shout. The heart goes to the mind and says, may I shout? And the mind says, I don't know yet. What do you want to shout about? I tingle. I want to shout because I tingle. Let me tell you something. First, stop and realize that your name is written in heaven. Stop and realize that your sins are forgiven. Stop and realize that you are justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stop and realize that you've got a home being prepared in heaven. Stop and realize that God will not impute your sins against your record. Stop and realize that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Stop and realize that you have the blessed words of Almighty God that are eternal right in your hands. Stop and realize that you have salvation in your breast. Now the mind says, on that basis, heart, have a spell. Have a spell. Now that's the difference. If people say, you First Baptist folks, you get all excited and worked up, but you're charismatic. No, we're not charismatics. Our mind tells us what we shout about. Too many of us, I've used this illustration before, but too many is like our dog Fritz we used to have. If you sat down to the piano, I could set the piano and go da 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 da, and Fritz would come beside the piano, stick his nose up there and go, he'd sing as long as I could play, and he sang about as well as I could play. Come to think of it, he sang about as well as I can sing. But it was something in the nervous system that caused Fritz to sing. And that's what charismatic movement is. Something in the nervous system, brother. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. Something in the nervous system. I don't want to shout because I tingle. I want to shout because I have the realization of what I have in Jesus Christ. So what happens is we our hands do what the senses tell us to do when they should do what the mind tells us to do. Our eye, our ears hear what our senses, that's what rock music is all about. Our senses tell us what to hear, what to hear. That's why on this organ over here, Mrs. Colston plays songs that are familiar. She plays no classical music. That wouldn't be any blessing to you. That might bless your nervous system or your senses, your ear, your heart, but it won't bless. Nobody has a right to be blessed until there's a realization that sends a message down to the heart and says, now you can be blessed. She plays a song. She plays Blessed Assurance for an offertory. Those of us that have been to church much, we know what she's playing. We know the words. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. That's why I don't like concerts or offertories. I don't like somebody to come up and show off their latest ability to play.
Shut up. Not a concert. It's a time to play something folks can hear that they know. They can stop and say she's playing today. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. She's playing today at Calvary. Alas, and did my Savior bleed and did my Sovereign die. But he did fold sacred head for such a worm as I. At the cross where I first saw the light. What a friend we have in Jesus. And our minds think about what she's playing. And the mind gives the emotion a chance to obey. So, as the captain of me, your eyes should never see, look at anything until they have gotten permission from the mind. Your ears should never listen to anything until your ears have gotten permission from the mind. Your tongue should never speak anything until it's gotten permission from the mind. Your mouth should never eat anything until you're good and hungry. Until it's gotten permission from the mind. By the way, in case you would like to lose weight, this is the way to do it. You look at a cheese quarter pounder and smell the fries and gain the pounds. But it's worth it. But what you're doing is that's why I don't look at advertisements a great deal. I don't want something on a page, looking at my eyes, seeing something. I want to decide what I need up here. So, in case you would like to lose weight, I'm not saying suggesting you lose weight. I happen to like fat people. And skinny people, too. But I like best tithing people. But if you want to lose weight, in case you do. But none of you need to. None of you need to. Most of you don't need to. But in case you ever want to lose weight, the way you do it is before you eat, you're mouth says to your mind, may I have that? And your mind decides whether or not you may have that. So I say, what happens is you got that constant interaction. The mind says, you may shout. And so the heart gets happy and the tongue shouts. And then it shoots it back to the mind and says, this is why I shouted. And the mind says, let me give you some more material to shout about. You have the words of God here, just preserved for you. And so you say, bless God, this book is God's book, and I have it right here in my hands. Hallelujah. And your mind says to your heart, have a spell. And your heart has a spell, and your mind says, hey, come back up here, heart. Got something else I want to tell you. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ lives in you as the hope of glory. I want to tell you that God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. The heaven's your home. Holy Spirit is your indweller. The Bible is your book. The rapture is your blessed hope. Jesus is coming again. Go ahead and have a spell, heart. And the heart has a spell, and the tongue shouts, and then the mind says, hey, come back up here. I got some more fodder for you. I want to give you something else to shout about. I'm saying, I'm not against shouting. I'm against the heart deciding. I'm not against eating. I'm against the eyes deciding. I'm not against music. I'm against the ears and the nervous system deciding. I mean, the mind is the sentry walking guard over your life. And all of your actions should be only done when receiving permission from the mind. Let me say this, no love is real love unless it's an act of the will. If he says to you, I just love you, you're the prettiest thing in all the world. You look at him and say, I'm going to leave you because you're the dumbest thing in all the world. Oh, I love you because you're sweet. Well, sometimes you're going to be sour. I love you because you're pretty. Sometimes you're going to get not pretty. I love you because you're 5'6" and weigh 115 pounds. You give her a few years, she will waddle while she walks. She'll be 6'5" and weigh 215 pounds. I'm trying to tell you this. If your emotions tell you whom you love, it's not real love. By the way, let me say this. It is perversion if it starts in the heart. It is also perversion if it stays in the head. All over this Chicago area this morning, you got a bunch of dead preachers preaching truth.
The Bible says that we're justified by faith. Faith is an act of the will when you decide to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of our God. And the people are going to sleep. Now that's perversion. Brother, a professor years ago at Moody Bible Institute, he was pastor of a church and he teaches there, and he said to me, he said, you and I have different type churches. He said, your church is a shouting church and my church is a more of a stable church. I said, there's another difference too. I have a church and you don't. God didn't give us truth to learn. God gave us truth to send a message to our heart and say, rejoice, your names are written in heaven. Rejoice about it. But if you rejoice because, oh, I feel it coming. Oh, I feel it. Oh, I'm slain in the spirit. Good. Hope you don't get back up. That's perversion. See what I said? Benny Hinn stuff is perversion. Benny Hinn's a Benny Hinn. Oral Roberts stuff is perversion. I said perversion. It does not start with a realization. On the other hand, just the opposite perversion, if there is no shout and no joy and no thrill and no excitement, that also is perversion. I'm saying the problem with our lives is our eyes operate with permission from the senses and not the mind. Our ears listen with permission from the senses and not the mind. Our hands touch that which our senses tell us to touch and do not get permission from the mind. Let me illustrate. Russell Anderson, my good friend, has a condominium up in Ypsilanti, Michigan. It's a beautiful place. When I go up and preach up there, he lets me stay in that condominium. It overlooks a real beautiful lake. And out in the front, there's a little guardhouse. There are dozens of condominiums there in this complex of apartments, of building. There's a little guardhouse. Now, you got to stop at that guardhouse. You come in at night. And so I stop at the guardhouse, and the guard comes out, and I say to the guard, my name is Jack Hiles. I'm staying in Russell Anderson's condominium. He said, yes, I've been expecting you. You may go on. Now, follow me carefully. The guardhouse, I'm sorry, the heart is the condominium. The mind is the guardhouse. Unless that guard says I can go to that condominium, I don't go to that condominium. And unless my mind says I'm supposed to eat something, I'm not supposed to eat it. And unless my mind says I'm supposed to feel something, I'm not supposed to feel it. And unless my mind says I'm supposed to see something, I'm not supposed to see it. And that way, listen, that way you have taken your last lustful look at some whore half naked. And that way you've taken your last peek at a Playboy magazine. And that way you've taken your last peek at the lingerie ads in the local newspaper. You guys, well, I'll tell you what it's in. I've heard it said, so I'm sick of it. In this age, it's almost, I just hit evil false all the time. The reason you do is your mind and your will are not in charge. I have in my pocket a little card. It's called the Hiles Anderson College Identification card. Has my picture on it. I can't get in. I started this college. It's got my name on it. Hiles Anderson College. I walk out there. Listen to me now. No moving around. Listen to me. I walk out to the college. I walk in. A little hostess is there. A little gal about 5'4", weighs about 110 pounds. And I start walking in. She'll say to me, hold it, wait, Dr. Hiles, where is your identification card? And I'll say, I started this school. Dr. Hiles, you can't get in without an identification card. Well, wait a minute now. My name's out there on the sign, Hiles Anderson. Russell Anderson says it ought to be Anderson Hiles. A comes before H. I said, for enough money, I'll change it. But anyway, Miss Evans it was a beautiful day. She decided to take her class out beside the lake and teach her class beside the lake.
She left her purse in the building. She comes back. The wife of the president walks in, and the little lady says, "You can't come in without identification." And Mrs. Evans had to stand there until they called the boss man. What's the name? Anybody listening to me? I don't know what it is. Anyway, you got to call the superintendent. That's the name. Those big words always throw me. Superintendent, four-syllable words. I never know what they are. And he had to come and grant permission for the president's wife to get back into college. She stayed outside for 3 weeks. Now, listen carefully. The building is the heart. The hostess is the mind. The hostess says, "Unless I give you permission, you can't come inside this college." Jack Scott is the vice president. He can't get inside the college without permission, the hostess, after he shows his card. When the Evans is the president, "I'm the chancellor. None of us can get in. And you're not going to be able to control your senses and prevent yourself from doing what you ought not to do and make a bunch of foolish decisions until your mind is the sentry walking guard over your hands and your ears and your tongue and your eyes and your actions, and everybody, everything that you do comes to your mind and says, 'Can I get permission?' And you only see that which your mind says you can see. You only taste that which your mind says you can taste. You only hear that which your mind says." By the way, you send a message to your heart or your mind and ask your mind if you can listen to rock music, and you'll stay outside. Your mind will never give you permission to listen to rock music. Your mind will never give you permission to watch a movie. Your mind will never give you permission to go to the beach and look at the naked women. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's time we got enough character, and the old-fashioned people did that. You only do that which you get permission from your mind to do. We have a system here, First Baptist. We use it in all of our ministries, our schools, and all of our ministries. It's called the purchase order system. Mrs. Judy Anderson is our financial secretary here. If Brother Colston wants to buy something from his budget item, Brother Moffitt wants to buy something from his budget item over that he controls, Brother McKinney wants to buy something, anybody, you got to get a purchase order. You go to Mrs. Anderson and say, "I need to buy something." She looks to see if there's enough money in that account. And if there's enough money in that account, after all the bills that are outstanding are paid, she gives you a purchase order. That you get that purchase order, you can't buy anything. In our schools, our principals have a meeting every Saturday morning. If any of these principals, if Brother Don Boyd, in fact, yesterday you did this, didn't you? Brother Don Boyd had spent something that didn't get a purchase order for. And he's like that. The rest of the fellows are cooperative. But these men have to come to me at our meeting and explain to me and Brother Bob over here, O'Claire, what they did. And unless if they purchase something out of purchase order, they've got to come. They've got to answer me for it. And by the way, I can't purchase anything out of the budget of First Baptist Church without a purchase order either. I call Ms. Anderson and I say, "Judy, we have anything in a certain item in the budget?" And she says, "No." Then I can't order it. I can't purchase it. Now listen, the purchase is the heart. The purchase order is the mind. The purchase order says, "Go ahead and buy it." Now listen to me. The reason that you have evil thoughts, you think without asking your mind what to think, you touch without asking your mind what to touch, and you feel without asking your mind what to feel, and you eat and drink without asking your mind what to eat and drink, and you hear without asking your mind. Listen, the mind controls the will, and the will gives you permission to act. The mind determines when you love, and what you love, and whom you love. The mind determines what I get excited about. The mind is the receptionist for my emotions. Now let's apply this for a minute. Salvation. Look at me. Fellow comes to church. All of a sudden he says, "Well, glory! Woo! It hit me!" You're not any more saved than a cow in the pasture. "Oh, it hit me! I got it! I got it! I got it!" Don't breathe on me. I don't want what you got. Concerning salvation, God's divine order. Facts, faith, feeling. Facts, faith, feeling. That means that your mind understands four things. I'm a sinner. I owe a debt for my sins that'll take me to hell when I die. Jesus Christ came to earth, virgin born, lived a sinless life, went to Calvary, paid my debt for me on the cross, was buried and rose again after 72 hours for my justification. And if I trust Him as my Savior, I can go to heaven when I die. I don't care what you feel, how much you tingle, unless you know you're a sinner and know you're condemned in the sight of Almighty God and know that Jesus Christ paid the penalty and became your condemnation, and that by faith in what He's done, not what you do, you can go to heaven. If you don't know that, you can tingle all you want to and die and go to hell someday. It starts in the mind. So the mind learns the facts. And then the mind says to the will, "Go ahead and trust Jesus." Then the mind sends a message down to your heart and says, "Guess what we did up here? We trusted Jesus. And we have eternal life. We're going to heaven when we die." And the heart says, "Can I shout now?" And the mind says, "How about it?" So the heart comes to mind and says, "Can I rejoice?" The mind says, "Hold it, not yet. Not yet. Let's get those four things settled before you can rejoice." But the heart says, I feel something. Mind says, "Hold it, hold it, hold it. Just shut up now. You can't rejoice yet." But I'm bubbling over. You don't get saved by bubbling over. You get saved by trusting Jesus as your Savior. So, the mind says, "Hold it now. Wait a minute. Before you shout, let's get four things settled. Do you realize you're a sinner?" Yeah. "Realize sinners are lost and condemned to hell?" Yeah. "Realize that Jesus Christ has paid your penalty and suffered your hell for you?" Yeah. You realize that if you rely upon Him to save you, not the Pope, not the priest, not the preacher, not the baptistry, not the Lord's Supper table, not the communion cup, not your good works, not a church, not a denomination, not Ash Wednesday, not Fat Tuesday, or Underweight Thursday, or trusting confirmation, or being sprinkled as a baby, not that. But you realize that you're a sinner and you're lost, and Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. You'll trust Him and Him alone and nothing else to save you. You can go to heaven. Yes, then do it. I will. And the man says, "Okay, heart, live it up. Have a spell and throw a fit." It's an old, old story, but it's the best illustration I know about this, and I'll close. I was in Garland, Texas, went out soul winning one night. Stopped at a man's house, North Garland, named Davis. Mr. Davis came to the front door, and I told him who I was. He invited me in. I told him how to be saved, but I could tell he didn't want to wait. While I was talking, he said, "I'm beginning to feel it. I'm beginning to feel it. I'm beginning to feel it." I said, "Hold it, man. Listen to what I'm saying." Before I knew it, he jumped up and shouted, "Well, glory! Woo! I've got it! I've got it! I've got it! Woo!" He went into the kitchen. His wife was washing dishes. He said, "Come on in and get it." Well, any woman liked to quit washing dishes, so she came in and she got it, and she started shouting. And all the kids started shouting. You never saw better charismatic service in your life. And you saw that night at the Davis house. I left that place. I was a young preacher. I was rejoicing. Went to 600 block of Freeman Avenue. Went to the door. A fellow named Winfred Brewer came to the door. Winfred Brewer looked like a bulldog. He was ugly as a guy you ever saw in your life, but he was a masculine man. I said, "Mr. Brewer, can I come in?" He said, "Come on in." I asked Mr. Brewer, after a while we chatted, I said, "Do you know if you died you'd go to heaven?" He said, "Nope." I said, "Would you like to know?" By the way, he didn't sit down. I sat down on the sofa, he leaned against the door. I said, "Would you like to know?" "Yep." "If I showed you how you could know, would you do it?" "Yep."
I said, the first thing you got to know is that you're a sinner. Do you realize that? I showed him Romans 3:10, 23. Yep. I said, okay, there's a price on sin. Romans 6:23, Romans 5:12. You understand there's a price on sin? If you died today, you'd go to hell? Yep. Man, I wanted to stick him with a pen. I wanted something more than a yep. I said, you realize that Jesus died for you and paid your penalty on the cross? Yep. You believe you'd trust him as your Savior? Yep. But that time I was doubting my own salvation. So I put some emotion. I said, I want to pray. Oh, God. I added a lot of frills. Oh, God. Come in power and save Mr. Brewer. Oh, God. Now, Mr. Brewer, would you pray this prayer? What prayer? I said, would you pray this prayer? I'll tell you, pray. Yep. I said, oh, dear God. He said, dear God. I said, oh, God, forgive my sins. Forgive my sins and save my soul. Save my soul. I do now receive Jesus. I do now receive Jesus as my Savior. As my Savior. And trust Him. And trust Him to take me to heaven when I die. To take me to heaven when I die. I thought that guy's lost as a goose. I said, Mr. Brewer, where would you go if you died now? Heaven. Mr. Brewer, you believe you're saved? Yep. I want to go back to David's house. Yep. I said, you think your name is written in heaven? Yep. I said, can I leave? Yep. I walked out of that house. I wouldn't have given you a dime for his chances of being saved. Hold it. Hold it. Winfred Brewer came the next Sunday. So did the Davises. He and his wife got baptized. So did the whole entire Davis family. Within 2 weeks, the Davises had lost whatever they got because they got it from here and not first from here. Winfred Brewer, after, let's see, it's been 44 years. No, about 43 years. Winfred Brewer is still a deacon in a Baptist church. And Winfred Brewer would come to church every Sunday while the Davises were at home. He'd say, amen, amen, amen. Why? He got the facts first. He put the faith second. And once you get the facts in your mind and put your faith in Christ, the mind says now, realize it. But by the way, you don't feel it and then realize it. You realize it and then feel it. Now, I'm going to close, but I'm talking to folks this morning. Your heart is telling you what to eat. Your senses are telling you what to hear. Your senses are telling you what to see. And the honest, simple truth is the Christian life can be lived and 90% of your problems can be stopped and prevented if you will simply let your mind be the little hostess at the door of Howells Anderson College. Let your mind be the guard at the guardhouse at Russell Anderson's condominium. Let your mind be the credit card that you can't purchase anything. American Express card here. I walk up. I want to buy something. I can't buy something until they check and see if that card is valid. Your mind is that credit card that gives you permission to act, to speak, to touch, to walk, to see, and to hear. It's the same. And let me tell you again. Hear me carefully. I just gave you the secret to the Christian life. I'm sick and tired of you young men saying, well, I just can't keep my eyes off these naked women. You can if you won't look until your mind tells you what you can look at. Well, I'm hooked on rock music. You can get unhooked just like that if you let your mind tell you what kind of music you ought to hear. And you can go to heaven when you die today if you'll first let your mind be cognizant of the facts that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're going to hell. Jesus paid the penalty for you if you trust Him as your Savior. This morning you trust Him as your Savior, and then your mind will say to your heart, now that you put your faith in me, you realize what you have, and let that realization sink into your heart, and then you can rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Shall we bow our heads, please, for prayer.